morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. The first seeker's class. Lord, I thank you for moving in our lives.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for every blessing,
thank you, Lord,
known and unknown,
that
you've done through us and for us. Help us to go forward doing all that's in your heart, doing the most important things in these last hours we have. In Jesus' mighty name, bless every coming, every speaker this morning. Be with the pastor.
Yes.
Help us to go forward in your perfect will, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
What is the most important thing? You always ask questions. What is the most important thing?
What's the most what now?
To me, it's to see God and to love Him.
Yep.
It's not things. It's not even souls. That's His heart. Mm-hmm. And that's important. But the most important thing is to love Jesus out of your heart and soul. And you can do it through Him, though.
That's perfect.
What, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart,
yes,
by the Holy Spirit. You have it there. He's not telling you to do something that He has not provide.
And that's one of the Ten Commandments. Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. That's a, you know, that's commandment. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do with them commandments? He fulfilled them. So I fulfilled them in Him. So I can love Him that way.
Because it's been spread abroad in our heart.
That's exactly right, too.
You know, this prophet, well-known prophet, died and went to heaven, and he saw Jesus, and he thought, you know, Jesus was going to have this big conversation with him. And he said, all he asked was you to learn how to love.
Ooh,
and
praise
what did
God.
You do with the love that's been shed abroad in your heart?
Glory,
what
hallelujah.
Did you do with that love?
Well, that's good.
You know, He shed that love abroad in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with that love?
And we can't do fulfillment of that love unless we love Him first. He comes before everything. Mother, father,
you're loving out of His love, not your own love.
Yes. That's understood. But, you said that. But that's the most important thing.
It is.
You're loving out of His love. And you know, we're going to be having some challenges in this world that you say, God. But I always tell myself, I've got that love already shed in my heart. I ain't got to go pray nothing up. Holy Spirit, release some of that love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we do life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you live. Paul, Teresa and I were talking on a dash yesterday and day before. Paul, if you look at his word, every book he's ever written in here, he talks about people that was in the ministry with him, but he never mentions his mother and daddy, his aunts or uncles, his sons, daughters, what if he had kids, he doesn't mention brothers, nothing. He just mentions the gospel, because he did forsake everything for the gospel.
He did.
Because see, if you love Jesus more than anything, He said that I will give you all that.
Yes, amen.
But first, you got to love me with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Everything.
That's the first thing.
Everything.
You know, the love of God is the most important thing.
Yes.
You know, last week, Lord had me talking about how having ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the heart of love.
Yes.
When you love God, when you're focused on
Him,
when you're watching Him, listening to Him, hearing Him, you have ears to hear what He says.
Yes.
But the opposite is also true. Whatever you're after, Job's friend said, what is your eye weak at? They were trying to figure out what got Job off track when they asked him that. What does your eye wink at?
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard that and saw that in the Word, I think of winking like, you know, you're blinking your eye. I didn't understand the concept till later on. If you stare at something long enough, eventually you're going to have to blink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That meant something had his attention. What has your attention? What got you off? We know that you were walking with the Lord. We all do. But something has stolen your attention and your allegiance.
That's good.
To this, and then this disaster came. What did your eye wink at?
You think Job's was fear?
No. He had fear. But he loved God, and he feared evil. That opened the door
but
for him.
I mean, what is this? I don't know the quote.
When his friends was trying to figure out what got him off track.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that he caused the, they didn't know. that none of them had the reference of chapter 1 and 2.
Okay.
All this disaster happened. So they were just totally convinced. They were religiously convinced that Job
had done something
wrong. Was sinning and deserved all this stuff. But he didn't know what it was. He said that things I greatly feared has come upon me. That just opened the door. But the enemy did all this.
Exactly correct.
So they asked the question, where does your eye wink at? If you're looking at the Lord, your eye will wink at him. Eventually, as you stare at him, he's the primary focus of your life. Your eye's going to blink. And they use the word wink. We take wink and we say, well, you know, if you see somebody, you want to signal them, you wink. But that's not what it's saying. It's, what is your eye winking? What is your stare? That's what his friends was asking. What are you staring at?
Mm-hmm.
What has your attention? And whatever ends up on the top shelf of your heart, that's what you're going to have ears for.
You know, that's one of your scriptures you taught me. If your eye be single, your whole lot, body will be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the same thing. If you're staring at something, that's what's in you, that's going to be the light. So. Yeah. Because you've started using that scripture a lot lately.
Mm.
That's true.
I grew up in the Pentecostal and Holiness churches. The flesh was just an abomination. But Jesus didn't say that. He said the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all of those 12 disciples except for Judah, their flesh became stronger
mm-hmm.
over time.
Right.
He didn't say your flesh has to be weak. But when you look at it in him, because he said this before he said that. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Your spirit and soul is inside your body. Your body, it is possible for your whole being to desire and flourish in the love of God.
Yes, well, Jesus did it, didn't he?
Well, you said flourish, Passion Translation, Isaiah 55:3. Pay attention and come closer to me and hear. Then your total being may flourish.
Woo, hallelujah.
I will enter into an everlasting covenant with you, and I will show you the same faithful love that I showed David.
Mm-hmm.
Total being shall flourish.
We have the blood covenant, man. That makes us partakers of that.
Amen.
It used to surprise me how you could walk in peace. And the same thing they used to throw you for a loop, you can laugh at. You know, people stop at Romans chapter 7. But see, 7 and 8 should have been one chapter.
Amen.
Because 8 shows you how to deal with the problems of the mind and the flesh.
Amen. Now the flesh, the body, the flesh, it'll do whatever which one is stronger. Mm. If your spirit is strong, you go with your spirit. Whichever one is stronger, whichever one, and if you train your mind, renew your mind and train it. The body, it's flexible. It'll go with anything that is stronger. It has no real true power on its own. It goes with whatever. If you're weak, it go weak. If you're strong of the Lord, it goes strong of the Lord. It goes in the direction of whatever you are.
When you love God, everything gets in line. When you study the Word and you receive His Word in your heart, then your mind will be renewed as you study and as you receive it, as the Lord has your attention. Whatever you put on the top shelf of your heart, whatever is most important, that's what, everything's just lined up. I learned this from Frank Mansion. He said, if you want to drive smooth, just look way down the road and you'll automatically make the fine-tuned adjustments and the car go just as straight. But if you're looking 4 feet in front of you, it's going to be erratic. When you're looking at Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He became flesh. What did he teach when he came? All the Word of God points to him. He taught the Sermon on the Mount. If the Sermon on the Mount destroys all forms of idolatry, all forms of misunderstanding, and it reveals the pure intent of what God stands for. Then he came back to the church after they experienced salvation. He rose from the dead, he justified us, and then he taught he taught we the seven letters to the seven churches. What he said to the seven churches will secure every part of your life. It brings you back to fellowship, back to focus on him. And then when the Holy Spirit guides you, you're ready because your first love is intact. The theme of what he said to the seven churches is your first love. Two churches he didn't have to rebuke. But the theme of the first love was still there. They just kept it. The others had problems, and he addressed it. He was honest with them. The Holy Spirit will be honest with you. He'll show you the truth in real time. He'll show you what must change. He'll show you what must happen. He'll show you the first thing Jesus did, he told them what they had to build on that. Then he told them what he had a problem with, so they could kill it. When we get to the last church, he talked about the being lukewarm. And that's a tricky and devastating way to live. Because in order to be lukewarm, you have to be half-hearted. You have a love for God, but you also have a love for the world. Remember, when people get in pride, they can't worship in spirit and in truth because their allegiance is divided. Every person that was lukewarm, like Saul, he tried to javelin David. He threw the javelin at him and wants to kill him. Then when Jonathan said that he wasn't coming, he threw the javelin right beside his own son because of his anger for David. And then he vowed to kill him. So Jonathan signaled David to leave. Then he went and hunted him twice. Well, he caught up with him twice. He hunted him more than him. But he caught up with him twice, and David wouldn't kill him. Because David was wholehearted. He was going to let God fight his battle. This is a representation. You know, this is the same heart that we need to have. We have to love our enemies. Pray for them. Pray for them. When people are front, that the world has leveraged them into being a problem against you, love them anyway. Because this is their chance to be redeemed. This is the heart of God. I was reading this book. I stayed up late last night. I ran late because I stayed up late because I was reading this book. I read three chapters last week, and I read chapters 5 and 6. David recommended chapters 3 through 5, and I read 5 and 6 last night. And it's a lot of, when people go to hell, they don't have a problem. It's going to be bad. It's going to be much worse than I ever thought.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine how bad it is?
Yeah. Jesus, when he guided the lady through to in hell, he had to show her hell. He said, only look at these things.
Who's that?
Through me. This is Donald Rigney.
Yeah, yeah.
Donald Rigney.
Yeah.
He said, only look at these things through me. And it reminded me of what he taught me in life, to look at life through him. Mm-hmm. And there's no pressure.
Amen.
There's none.
Amen.
There's no anxiety. There's no fear. I was in the Lord's presence more than once, and this one time I had a fear, and I knew that he didn't like it, and I worked on it. I destroyed fear out of my life to the point that I had to go back and think of what caused me to be afraid. And it, you change in him.
Amen.
And it changes real. See, you don't have to have anything in your heart but the Word of God.
Amen.
But you receive in your heart, that's what helps you to see him. But something wonderful happens when the Lord has your full attention. Everything you hear is easy to receive. When you hear something, when people are skeptical, you know, the Word of God said love believes all things. Love jumps on board with God. Whatever God is doing, it jumps on board with him. Okay, I'll make all the changes. I'll change it. Whatever's wrong, we'll just correct it. Love grabs a hold of things and sticks with it. And it, when you follow him, the Holy Spirit can now guide you and show you things. And sometimes, you know, people won't receive what you just learned. If he has to, he can cause you to understand it, but you won't have the ability to speak it. And I know that sounds weird, but that's what happens. And I had a full revelation of his peace to the point that nothing in my life had changed. I still had all the problems I had, but I had an overwhelming peace. To the point, if I woke up in the night, and I lived in Woodbine in those days, the trains were farther. It was far enough away from my house to where it sounded like music. And I found myself enjoying the horns of the trains. And it caught my attention. I said, Lord, I'm in peace. I can listen to a train and enjoy it. This is beyond how you would consider things, the peace that you can walk in. Mm-hmm. I said, I want everybody to know this. But I didn't know how to teach it. I just knew that if you love God, when you give him your full attention, that's where your vision comes from.
Yes. Amen.
This is not something you have to put pressure on yourself and pray and fast. Just love him.
Amen.
Prayer, you know, fasting, it helps you brighten the body and quieten, you know, the voice of the body and the mind. But when you just receive, you know, Jesus said when you're with the Son, you know, when you're with the bridegroom, you don't. There's no reason to fast. John the Baptist's disciples fasted all the time. There's a time to do warfare. There's a time to when you don't agree with the Lord. That's the time to travail and break yokes, break through. But when you agree with it, that's the time. It's a cakewalk. It's easy to take authority over the enemy, but if you're tempted with something, or you have to deal with it. And the love of God is the fastest and easiest way to do it. Last Thursday, I did a broadcast, and the Lord answered a lot of my questions that I've had lately. And that he made something so plain to me. And I used to wonder, why would he spit out those that are lukewarm? Now, that means that God detested it. If you ever ate a bad pecan, I like to eat pecans with my cereal. But when you get a hold to a bad one, you don't want it in your mouth.
Yeah.
And you spit it out. You find the closest garbage can. And that's how the Lord put it with the lukewarm. I said, and my first thought of lukewarm people was just people that were kind of, you know, just kind of laid back, not doing nothing. But that's not what a lukewarm person is. When the Lord taught me about Rebekah's choice to follow Abraham's servant, I said, Lord, why is it that Abraham said, if the damsel won't go with his servant, why did he say don't ever go back? And the Lord said, because this blessing, what God was going to do in her life, and she was clued in on it. You know, they knew about Abraham. If she could resist such an elevated and blessed condition, if she could resist it, she didn't need it. She was wholehearted.
Mm-hmm. She was.
And for what she was going to do, she had to pass that test. Mm-hmm. She had to trust God to the point that she would be all in. And he said, this is what he said. He said, when people are wholehearted, they can make wholehearted decisions. Then he put it so plain, a half-hearted person cannot make a wholehearted choice. If she was neutral about the things of God, she just wanted a good life. She didn't care about the things of God. She would not have gone. And then I said, it takes a wholehearted person to make a wholehearted choice. And then my mind went to the disciples. They heard Jesus and they dropped their nets and followed him. Mm-hmm. They stopped right then and there and went with him. And they ended up fulfilling their ministry even though they knew that they would die. They loved the ministry. They loved the things of God more than their own life. She loved the things of God more than her own life. She put her own life, Rebekah did, out there. when she deceived Isaac, to make sure that the right son received the blessing. A wholehearted person will do that. Only people who are single-eyed will do that. Then I said, well, what about Judas? That's when he taught me about half-hearted. Judas was half-hearted. He was treacherous. Because he had already told me that lukewarm people are treacherous. Their love for the world will cause them to betray. Put under pressure, they'll change. Now, the Thursday, he said it takes a measure of hatred to do anything of the world. If a man lusts after woman, he has to have a measure of hatred to do it.
Yes, because he's destroying her and him and family and everything else.
Now, he doesn't mean it that way. But to follow through with it, he has to have a measure, because it goes against the love of God. Adultery. You have to have a measure of hatred to steal, to hate somebody, to stay in strife with somebody. You have to have a measure of hatred to go against the word of God on purpose. And this thing started making sense. I'm hearing these words come out of my mouth by the Holy Spirit. Because I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want to do today, but I want this to be a broadcast that, you know, that's going to bless people. The time is short. And it answers so many questions. He explained how everything of the world has to have a measure of hatred. When Cain ate off the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he had to break agreement with God and break fellowship with love to break out of the light. And it wasn't easy. But he did. Something fascinated him about that fruit. And he did it anyway. But when your heart is single, your whole body will be full of light. The love of God, protect the love of God, and you won't have the problems of the hatred of this world.
I like what Paul said. He said that my faith does not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. But if, you know, if that woman had said, well, you know, the wisdom of man, well, I won't have to do this, and I'll have all the sheep, and I'll have servants, and I'll just leave my... That's resting in the wisdom of men.
Yeah.
But hers was resting in, this is the God of all of heaven. So you're going to make compromises when you're thinking about the wisdom of men who would say, do this because of that, rather than do this because Jesus. That's the only answer.
People won't, they don't, you know, I never associated a measure of hatred with the wrong things. I just didn't want to desire the wrong things.
Leaven.
Yeah, but it's leaven. It's perfect. But that's it. Hatred, it starts as a small amount. But unchecked, it'll corrupt you totally. But the love of God works against it. You can combat it with the love of God. Don't be afraid of compromise. Don't be afraid of the world in any way, because fear is a false allegiance. It changes your allegiance. Just love God and walk in that power. And when you're in the love of God, you're in that bubble. You're right next to Jesus, and you're using His strength. And it's so much fun.
You're an infinite God, so troubles are infinitely far away from you.
I used to wonder, why is it? I mean, none of my problems same, but I'm still enjoying. I'm laughing at the things that used to cause me so much trouble. And then the Lord navigated me out of my trouble. That's the best way I know how to put it. But He showed me the level of hatred. There's an element of it. For compromise, anything that laziness, anything that's wrong, just speak against it, and it'll fall off your life. Pastor Jim said, Big Jim, he said, when you study the word, demons fall off your life, because your focus is being centered on Christ, and the bait and the hooks of the world it didn't mean anything anymore. With the love of God, you don't have, those things can't attach to you.
Demons can't they're like roaches. They'll run from the light.
Yeah, they'll run from the light, and you won't even want it. You know, Satan will be busy trying to tempt you, but it won't work. And when he see you won't bite on it, he give up. Because see, when you win, you win before the whole universe. We're being watched by
the great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, the great cloud of witnesses. Just stop there. The
Lord, they're rooting for you too.
Yeah. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to go forward. I thank you for the fellowship and your great, wonderful peace in Jesus' mighty name. Bless the food for the nourishment and strength of our bodies in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Real good stuff.